News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Soundbites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 2nd of October, Anno Domini 2005, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is, we're going to do all kinds of stuff. The Governator takes on scammers. The Governator, Delmar gets bad marks for tech support, adult modifications to games, has nothing new there.
But first, I got to do a shameless plug.
Uh-oh, here we go. Shameless plug time.
Well, no, we got a garage sale going on over at my place. It's to benefit my mom. And anybody wants to, stop on over. I'll be back there probably right after the show. It's at 70 Empire. Please stop by.
That's free advertising.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
we know that, Rob. But no, my brothers and sisters are all over there right now. My lovely wife, greetings.
Listening to the show, of course.
Yes. We got it cranked up. Matter of fact, we were listening to the other shows before that. But yeah, we got the garage sale going until 4 o'clock. So go on over, see my brother Kevin's there, Sue, Sheila, and my lovely wife Lori.
Just the whole
selling anything good?
Yeah. Well, it's. Unfortunately, my mom is in a nursing home right now, and we had to clear out her place, and it's 60 years of stuff. I mean, my mom was a collector. And matter of fact, we got rid of an old Snoopy phone.
Cool.
Yeah, and there's a lot of neat stuff there that folks might want to come over and check out, and please do. Stop by. Like I say, I'll be back there by 1:30.
You do realize he used a 50,000-watt radio station to plug your garage
sale. Yeah.
Your wife's going to be out there with flags, getting people parked.
Well, I hope so, because like I say, it's to help my mom out, and she's not doing that great.
Yeah. Well, back in the news, Google is planning to cover San Francisco with free wireless. It's an interesting plan. They're going to give free high-speed wireless internet access to bring fast web connection to people in more places for less money than they're paying now. And it's a pretty neat deal, and apparently they don't seem right now to have any plans to expand it beyond the Bay Area, but do we think this is just some cool thing, or is it the first step in world domination?
Well, who's going to pay for it? Somebody has to pay for this, all these wireless routers to put up and the IP signal.
Yeah, but if some of the businesses...
The city's paying for it.
Yeah, but if the businesses want to get in on it to be a hotspot...
Right.
And they pay a nominal fee.
Well, the deal is that San Francisco's Mayor Gavin Newsom wants to provide the service for the 800,000 users in the city, and Google is one of the bidders. That's right. The thing. And it's something Google's never done before.
Yeah,
it's an interesting...
And we've seen problems with that in other cities. Philadelphia had the problem where the local internet provider sued the city to prevent the city from giving wireless to the community.
Right.
And we had that Rochester Wireless Initiative that's meeting trouble in funding issues.
Right.
So it's, should the government provide internet services or should other people do that?
Right. Well, it's just like some of the other things. Once the government gets into it, it's like, who's going to get credit for it? And sometimes they can argue within parties who's going to get the credit for it, and then it never happens.
Well, the government should put it out to bid, and then the local companies can compete for our services.
Well, that's the way it should be.
The way it should
free
be,
enterprise. Yeah.
That's the way it should be. So it'll be kind of interesting to see what's going on with that. Of course, we have... we have all kinds of internet service providers here in town who provide tremendous internet service for us, and so, but to be able to get wireless everywhere would be interesting.
I've been playing with one of the wireless broadband services as a PC card that you put in your computer, Mac or PC, which is nice, and it uses the cellular network to give you wireless, so you don't have to find a hotspot.
Right.
Typical Wi-Fi, you get maybe 100 feet. Mm-hmm. With wireless, you get miles because it's off the cellular network.
Right.
So you can be anywhere that your cell phone reaches and get on the internet, and you typically get speeds 500-600K. So it's a lot faster than a dial-up internet through your cell phone.
Yep.
Not quite, DSL or cable internet, but
yeah, but still,
but
it's better than
dial-up.
And you're providing, and as long as you've got unlimited data.
Most of the services that we've been looking at, it's like $100 for the card, flat fee, and then $60 a month for unlimited data.
Right.
Which is what a lot of cell phone plans are. You know, businesses, salesmen on the road. You buy that unlimited cellular minute time things because you know you're on the phone all day long.
Right. Mm-hmm. And yes, I completely agree with you. If you're a home user, $60 a month is a ludicrous amount of money. But if you're on the road all day long and you don't know where you are from one minute to the next, you want to call back and see what's going on, or you're a salesman in somebody's home and you want to send back some sort of contract or whatever, that it's invaluable for that, and it's certainly worth the cost.
We're seeing a lot of the younger kids. Goodness, I'm getting old. Kids in their 20s in college, for example, and just out of college, won't have a hard landline. All they have is a cell phone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so you don't have that payment to the landline. So all you have is your cell phone. You're IMing, every few minutes, to see what's going on with your buddies and getting internet and email on your cell phone now. So it's really, the convergence theory,
right,
that's coming out, which it's kind of cool. But you always have to worry that, your battery runs out. You don't have a hard landline. You can't call anybody.
One of the other things the phone company's been getting into, and a lot of folks are doing it, and it's very inexpensive, is to forward your home phone to your cell phone.
Right.
So you can be anywhere, and if you don't want to miss a call and you got to go out somewhere, and your home phone, you can sit there and just punch in a few numbers and forward it right to your cell, and it's wherever you are.
Actually, it's not just your cell. I mean, you can get it. You can put in a circle of phones, and it'll ring each one.
Home,
in
office, cell, garage, boat.
Wherever it's going to find you, and it's another great feature, keeping people in touch when you have to.
You know, I personally, frankly, I don't need to have people get in touch with me that much.
No.
When I, I love my job, and I'm very responsible about my job, and I log in 10 times a night and look at this and that, and if they need to get hold of me, they can. But in general, that's because of the nature of my job, and it's for the servers. I don't, if you've got a problem with your machine at 3 a.m. as a home user, for me, that's not something I need to do. And so I don't care if nobody can find me at 3 a.m.
Well, I've got some businesses that, it's a mission critical that they're up 24/7.
Right.
And they've got my cell phone.
Right.
Number.
And they know that they're going to pay for that.
And they know that they only call me when it is an emergency because they have to have the service.
Right.
Otherwise, and call the answering machine. If it's on off hours, we're there and we can. We'll pick up.
Yeah, my wife has always been a camper. Ever since she was a kid, they would take a canoe and put it on their backs and go portaging across Canada or wherever they went. For me, roughing it is like when room service is late. That's kind of how I do these things. So when we got married, we compromised. We went camping.
In a hotel.
No.
We went camping.
We went camping.
Rob doesn't know about marriage compromise.
Yeah,
yet.
Marriage compromise. If she wants to do something and I don't want to do something, we compromise and do it. But what I found wonderful about camping, you can't get hold of me. If you want to talk to me, you come to the campsite and you bring the beer.
That works.
That's how that works. And
so
I
now you got to get one of those satellite internet things on top of the camper.
People have them. We had a pop up camper because I don't camp anymore at all because of my arthritis. I just can't be out in that anymore.
Yeah.
I don't believe we ever went camping when the temperature was like above 50 and it was dry. I don't think we ever did that.
No. See, I go camping. I just get it catered. No.
Yeah. But we had a little pop up camper, and what we would see people pull up with, the big tray, and you push a button and the sides go out, and the satellite dish rises up. Why did they even leave the home?
And they got self leveling jacks now.
I can remember when
I camped, I had to get out there with the level.
Well, that's what we were doing.
You bothered with the level? You just shove a rock under it. And if your coffee doesn't tip off the table, it's fine.
Well, no, we had to have it level because otherwise the heater wouldn't work right.
But I did love the
you
fact
used a
we
heater?
Had a cell phone.
You
yeah.
wimp.
This
yeah,
is
we,
a
had
a pop
cell, we had a cell phone, but except for when my father was very ill, we left it off and we didn't care, and it was great. It was great. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, Is Sarah Connor an email scammer? When we come back, we'll see who the governor is going after next. When we come back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Arnold Schwarzenegger, governor of California, has signed a bill on, he signed it on Friday, making internet phishing identity scams punishable by law. We all know what phishing is. All know what phishing is.
And we'll explain why Dave is laughing in a minute.
Yes. We all know what phishing is. This is when you get the things where somebody pretends to be somebody else. Like you, I can't tell you how many times I get these things that say, your eBay account is in jeopardy or has been locked or is something or other. Click here. Now, always look because they're so funny because I don't actually have an eBay account, so it's unlikely that it's locked.
Or PayPal.
I have a PayPal account, but you look at them and they'll say, you know, paypal.com.ru, mm-hmm. which is in Russia. That's pretty likely not actually PayPal. And so that's called phishing. They have to give it a name. It can't just be emails trying to steal your identity. Because when you get there, then they'll say things like, well, there's a problem, so please give us your name, your address, your credit card number,
your PayPal
number.
We're just trying to verify.
Yeah, right, because we're verifying. And people are falling for these a lot. And Governor Schwarzenegger, which still does not roll off my tongue.
Good morning.
It has made it illegal. It's punishable by law. It's the first law of its kind in the United States.
But wait a minute. What part doesn't Arnold get?
Oh, yeah.
Especially if this is a phishing site that's in Russia.
Right.
How the heck is he going to punish anybody in Russia?
Yeah, you're not going to be able to catch them, and you're not going to be able to prosecute them.
Right. You know what I think it is? Nobody's told them it's the World Wide Web.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's the problem.
California Web.
Right, right.
Did you see Jesse Ventura on was it Larry King the other night?
No.
Another former actor, wrestler, did movies with Arnold, and now he's moving out of the country because he doesn't like what Bush is doing. But he's got this really weird braided goatee. He's completely bald except for some fuzz on the side of his head. So we were always joking about when Arnold became governor of California. Jesse Ventura was governor of Michigan, was it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota.
They should get into a spar off. You know, the two actor wrestler governors. Yeah. You know?
But he was great as governor of Minnesota. He just said what he felt like, did what he felt like, and the state went really well. Listen, we're going to go to a call now. We're going to talk to Al. Al, where are you calling from?
Rochester.
Rochester, New York. What's your question?
Okay. My daughter at college clicked on something on AOL.
It's always the
daughter, I know. I don't have the computer in front of me, but she called me and said that when she's on Instant Messenger, all of a sudden all these buddy list people pop up, and it's like they're sending something to each person on the buddy list.
Yes, it's a virus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Why didn't the running the McAfee Enterprise edition that the college gazer that didn't catch that? Why?
Well, there are a couple of reasons that may be possible. If she is running McAfee 8.01, which is the Enterprise edition that a lot of the colleges have purchased, there's a problem with it. It doesn't update.
Wonderful.
Exactly. The thing she can do now at this point is to definitely dance the security tango. Make sure she does that.
And there's a patch for that.
And there's a patch for the tango?
No, there's a patch for the McAfee Enterprise.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is, but it has to be applied.
Right, and she might want to check with her school that they might be able to run that over and they'll get that on for her.
Right, exactly.
A program called AIM Fix.
Right.
Will that take care of it?
I would start with the security tango because she's got a lot more problems than that. If the McAfee's not running and everything else, I'd go there first.
You'd go to where first?
The security tango.
Okay.
Dance the tango and see if that solves the problem. Certainly, if you're doing a product like AIM fix, that's fine. But more importantly, don't just what I'm saying is don't just rely on that.
Yeah, because that won't get rid of the viruses. It'll fix the problems with AIM. But, you know, if some of the other viruses are embedded right. there, mm-hmm. you know, even though she does the fix, it could still get out onto the internet.
And would it be better if I had her uninstall a McAfee and put on a different virus?
No, you got to get one that the school's going to support.
Yeah.
So, and 10 to 1 odds, she can get the patch from school to correct that.
Yeah.
Have her check that part out.
All right, we're going to take another break. It's time for the news. When we come back, we're going to talk about tech support hold times. They're getting a lot longer, and they're getting a lot more annoying. Give us a call. Join in a discussion. We're going to talk about phone support, and you can call in at 222-1180, 800-295-1180, or star 1180 for the Verizon wireless customers. We're going to be right back with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Rob... Steve Way? Steve Way, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, who will do his utmost to fix his mouth before we get on to the next segment. You're listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, and you all know that sound bites only on 1180 WHAM.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We said we'd talk about Dell customers. Dell
hey, Steve,
customers.
Can I get you to change your chair, please? Lean back. Lean back. Yeah, there you go. That's going to drive me nuts. I'm sorry. I just want to see.
It's an oil okay. job. Right,
if you hadn't have pointed out to me, I'd be doing it.
When you get to a certain age, rocking is really the only thing you have left in your life.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, no. It's certainly you meant
to interrupt
me. It's
related to the topic, not really. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Dell customers very upset about the tech support lines. People have been waiting. People have been dropped off. People go to the wrong places. Recent surveys suggest that the ranks of frustrated users are growing. Complaints to the Better Business Bureau rose 23% in 2004. They're up another 5% this year. Their customer satisfaction rating fell to 6.3%. You'll be delighted to know that the number one customer satisfaction rating in the computer industry is, guess what company?
Apple.
I was waiting for Dave to guess.
81%. 81% satisfaction rate. Both of the people like it a lot. Sorry. I couldn't leave him with that big ego thing going on.
That's Steve and who else?
You're right. But you know, Dell used to be on top of the list, and they're way down now, sir. A lot more people are going public with their complaints. There's a site called IHateDell.net, things
like
that.
A lot of other companies, they went overseas to try to do it.
That's
and
a lot of those
folks were, you know, literally reading out of cookbooks.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I've got this book in front of me. You got this problem? Okay, I look down the index. Okay, for this problem, I turn to this page. Now, here's what we're going to do.
Run your restore disks.
And they, yeah. and they right.
reboot.
There, yeah, and they literally have them go through, you know, a crash course to walk them through and do this. And then if they can't do it, then they move them up to another level tech.
Right.
And it's, man, you could spend a couple hours.
Now, to their credit, Dell is working to reverse the service slide. They've hired a couple of thousand additional reps this year. They're striving to reduce call transfers. There's a new line of higher-priced PCs coming out. Actually, they're already out, called the XPS line. They come with improved levels of service. If you are an XPS owner, you get routed to a shorter queue where a dedicated team of the best phone reps help you, leaving the rest of us. How would you feel if you weren't on that team? Our best reps are over here on the XPS line, and all the other junk reps are helping all the rest of you. Get
you
over
know,
it.
One other thing, though, folks have to be worried about, and this is with the holidays, and I'll bring it up again later on. Once the holidays get closer. But many folks are now getting, you know, new PCs.
Yes.
And the PCs aren't coming with restore disk.
Oh, that's the worst.
Or the original CD to restore it if you wanted to. I had one client come in and I said, well, where's your... They didn't send it. He had to call up, argue with them. They finally gave in and sent them, but they charged him. He paid for the actual CD to get it.
They'll put that restore stuff on a second hidden partition on the hard drive, and then somewhere buried deep
and
in
somehow
the,
that
well, somewhere buried deep in the manual, it says click here to make your own CDs.
Back in the day, there used to be an icon, make your recovery disc.
Right.
Yeah. You've got to start putting an icon on the desktop that says make your recovery CDs, and people could then, you know, burn their own copies.
I remember in the early days, one local company was selling a restore kit, and it was a box of 20 blank floppy disks marked computer restore kit.
Right.
So you take it back to your computer, you run that thing that says make disks, and it does.
Yeah. right. Exactly. You just take 23 disks, I remember. Our next caller is Whit. Whit, where are you calling from?
Calling from Webster, where life is worth living.
Where life is worth living. What's up?
I got an email from my son who is off at college. He's down in Pittsburgh at Carnegie Mellon, and apparently when he goes online there, he's going online through the college's web system, however that is. But he's still using his AOL email.
Right.
So he signs on to AOL.com and, you know, puts in his name and his password.
All his information.
And he's getting a message that pops up saying how the webmail service has been recently updated. Please click here to return to your messages. But he's not getting his AOL messages that way.
So when he clicks return, what happens? When he clicks here.
I just got an email from him here, and apparently I'm not sure what's happening, but apparently he is not able to get his email messages in what would be the standard way if you were signing on to, you know, someone else's computer and just going through that whole thing.
That may well be a Carnegie Mellon thing. A lot of the schools nowadays are blocking certain ports and blocking certain things.
Yeah.
And the main reason for that is because they're used by so many viruses.
Okay.
So what he needs to do before you can figure out anything else is he needs to talk to the folks at Carnegie Mellon and see if they're blocking any ports. Because generally a lot of these services use more than one port.
Okay.
And so it may well be that's the problem.
And if they are doing that, then he's just going to have to start using a different email address or a different email system.
Right.
Yes.
I've also been hearing this from a few AOL customers about an AOL web upgrade, and I think there was a problem in AOL's upgrade.
How did he send you an email if you can't get into his email?
Well, see, that's a good question, because this email is from his AOL address. So he says if he gets onto a computer that's got AOL loaded onto it, which doesn't.
Use the AOL client instead of the AOL web.
Yeah, if he finds a way to use AOL client, he's okay. But if he's using
him talk to the thing. We have to take a break.
Okay.
But have him talk to the folks at Carnegie Mellon back in just a couple of minutes. And when we come back. How long a critical flaw discovered on September 20th and fixed on September 21st? Who's this paragon of patching? Find out when we come back on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham! Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. I told you we were going to talk about... a critical flaw that's been fixed within a day. Who was that? Why, that was, of course, our friends at Mozilla.
The number one company we've been pushing.
They fixed a critical flaw in Thunderbird not once, but twice. If you're running Thunderbird, upgrade to 1.0.7 to be secure. 1.5 is still, I believe, in alpha, so I wouldn't download that if I were you. They fixed the first flaw in a day, and a whole new version came out 3 days later. I don't know how you beat that in terms of support and service and everything else.
Microsoft, wait a minute, is still waiting to do their next rollout before they even add, you know, a lot of their other stuff to it because, they'll get around to it.
Well, they only patch once a month, and they skipped September.
Yeah. So, I mean, here you got a browser that you have a lot better control on. And that's one thing we should also talk about. I mean, we've had a number of folks emailing us and that, and we've during our various talks. You can use more than one browser, folks.
Right.
I personally have three different
browsers. There are. Well, we should start out by saying there is more than one browser.
There's like dozens.
Yeah.
And a lot of folks. Well, I use that because certain sites, like we say each week, you know, use Firefox. And that is great for getting to 99% of the websites. But there are going to be those few, say, like some government sites, tax sites and that you're going to have to use Internet Explorer. Because that's the way they wrote their goofy code the government hasn't learned yet. But you can have, you know, as many browsers as you want. Because all it is a tool to get you onto the Internet and surfing around on the Internet. Well, because folks will say, well, I use that for my email. That doesn't matter. A browser is separate from your email program. It's just what you use, and you have your favorites and all that. And you can have multiple favorites lists in different browsers. So don't be afraid to try out Foxfire if you want to try something else out. And, oh, by the way, there's one thing that you're going to have to give up. I know this is going to upset a lot of folks.
I hope you're all sitting down, folks.
Really? Pop-ups. You won't see those annoying pop-ups constantly splashing on your screen telling you to take advantage of this great ad. You know, it just doesn't happen. If you want to see pop-ups, then stay with Internet Explorer. But otherwise, use one of these other browsers that you hear us mention on the show, and you can go to off of our website. I heard this website on your show, and check out some of those other browsers, because I think your surfing experience might be a lot better with the fewer pop-ups.
By the way, I made a couple of changes to the website this week. People couldn't find, I heard a website mentioned on your show, so now I have a section called links, and the very second one is the list of sites mentioned weekly on the show. So it should be easier for folks to find now. We're going to go back to the phones. We're going to talk to Linda from Greece, New York. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Great. How are you?
Good. SpyBet. I've been on your soundbite page and everything. I've gotten information on how to go to different ones, you know. We clicked out. I've tried all of them, and I still keep getting bad checksum.
Right, and you're just going to have to keep trying. Right now, Safe Netting 2 has been working very well.
Well, let's back up a second. What she's saying is when you go to update SpyBot, what's been happening is that people are getting bad checksums,
right,
which means that the update that was coming down isn't complete or isn't right. And so SpyBot won't update because it's bad.
I'd like to think it's because we've been promoting SpyBot and, you know, telling folks to use this. A lot of the sites have been, download sites have been getting very busy. And sometimes, yes, it will take, you know, 3-4 tries. And if it doesn't do it then, wait a couple hours and then try going through the site, the list of sites again. Now, for you folks that maybe are a little confused with what we're talking about here, is when you go to download the sites, right next to the check for updates, you'll see a particular server name. It might be safenetting at number2.europe. Well, right to the right of that is a down arrow. If you click on that down arrow is where you can pick, I think it's up to 7 different sites. Select one of the other sites and then tell it to try to download again once the bad checksum fails. And it'll try that other site. And sometimes it takes visiting 2 or 3 sites before you get them all to download.
Yeah, the problem is several fold. First, the sites are being hit because it's such a popular product. The second thing is that right now things are a little flaky between here and Europe. In a lot of ways, mm-hmm. A lot of it having to do with spammers and phishers,
yeah,
and all the stuff that's going on. And so consequently, packets get dropped sometimes in the net. So
the last few I tried, the Australia site worked the best.
Yeah. We have to take a quick break. Later on in the show, we've got John Christopher coming on the line. He's a data recovery engineer for Drive Savers. He's going to talk about saving data, even when other things go bad. And how about a nice new computer from AMD? How about paying only $299 for it? More on that after the break with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Nick Francesco, and you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
What? Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Give us a call, 222-1180 if you're in that 585 area code. Outside it, it's 800-295-1180. Verizon Wireless customers can call in at star 1180. AMD is selling a $299 computer, the personal internet communicator. It was originally designed for emerging nations to get their populations on the internet inexpensively, but AMD figures they can sell it to everybody, and it's being sold at Radio Shack. $299, it's a great price. What do you think the limitations are, the problems that might come up?
I was just saying, how much memory's in it?
Well, that's the thing. They're not telling us a lot about it, but I doubt it has more than 128 meg of RAM. The important thing is they say it's going to have, it's going to, you know, be set up and targeted. So if, you know, there'll be a big email button and a big web browsing button.
It runs a Windows CE, doesn't even run the full Windows, comes with Internet Explorer 6, a word processor, not Microsoft Word, but a word processor. So it probably works.
WordPad.
I would have thought it would say that. It just says spreadsheet with full function WordPress.
Right. It doesn't say anything, but it's a cute little box. It's a tiny little box.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
So it's for $300, you buy one, it breaks, you throw it away, buy another one.
Well, that's just it. You know, it'll be interesting to see what it's about. It's a couple of companies are actually looking to do this. I don't know that that it's going to be useful for an ordinary person as a regular user.
Yeah,
but
all
certainly
it does,
it's going to have it's going to be able to do pictures and video and play games and stuff, and that's what a lot of people care about.
Yeah, it seems like the biggest thing they intended to do is just internet. So if all you do is browse the web and check your email, and you don't need a specialized computer.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you still need a video. You still need a screen. I don't know. I don't even think it comes with a keyboard and a mouse. And whatever connections you need to the internet. So it's still not really that $300 all-in-one package. It's still going to end up costing you $400 or $500 by the time you're done. But even so, it's an interesting. We'll keep you apprised of that as time goes on. We'll see if we can. I might even have to pick one up at some point when they're finally available and see what they're like. But we're going to
actually. The personal internet computer includes 15-inch CRT keyboard mouse. It's the AMD Geode GX processor that we've never heard of.
We've never heard of, exactly.
But if you just want to get on the internet and check your email.
Wow, it's an even better deal than I thought. So we'll have to check one out, see what the deal is with those. But right now, we need to get back to the phones. We have Jack from Fairport on the line. Welcome, Jack. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Great show.
Thanks. Thank you.
I had a question. I just got a new PC, and it's got Windows XP.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear that it's a good idea to use third-party software for antivirus and firewall.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to find out, how do you turn off the XP antivirus and firewall?
What you've got to do is, in the control panel, there's you'll see an icon that says firewall.
Mm-hmm.
You can go in there and say, no, I'm managing that myself. And the same with the antivirus. If you click on that and that icon, that window will open up, and you can click on it and says recommendations. And again, another window opens up, and you can say, no, I've got my own antivirus software. Thank you very much. Don't bother me.
Yeah, and then you have to go to the security center and tell it that you're using your own software, or it'll keep popping up and saying, you turned off the Windows firewall. Ooh.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it'll say, don't monitor it. I'm handling it. Don't bother me.
And the security center is in the control panel.
Also control. Yep.
Yep.
Okay, and I'm using AVG and...
Zone Alarm?
Yes.
Perfect.
You're good to go.
Okay, now also I noticed that it said something about virtual machine for Java. Is that true?
Java in your system, there is what's called a virtual machine. It's really just the Java engine. It's all that is, and they just gave it the fancy name virtual machine in hopes that you would think it was more than it is.
And Java is a little programming language that lets you run like games on web pages, so most people want to have Java installed.
Right. Our next caller, got a couple minutes for Bob from Greece. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Good morning.
Hi.
I have a question regarding, I'm going to change machines. I'm buying a new one, and I just put Norton in 2005, a few months ago.
Yeah,
is that lost, or could I take it out of that machine and enter it into the new one?
If you totally remove it, you've got to completely uninstall it from the other machine, so it's no longer on there, and then you can move it over, because it can only be on one machine. At a time. It's one license, one PC. So if you completely uninstall it from the old machine, you can then legally put it on the other one.
And then what's going to happen next with Norton 2005, because it uses internet activation, like Windows XP and Microsoft Office, you'll have to activate that software, and it's going to come back and say you can't because it's already activated. You'll have to...
call an 800 number.
Right, call Norton and say, I'm buying it. I bought a new computer. I'm using my software on the new computer.
And that you uninstalled it from the other one.
Right.
Yep.
Right. All right, it looks like we're done for this segment. If you're on the line, hang on. We've got news coming up in just a minute. But on the other side of the news, we have exciting and wonderful things from you. Dave has a brand new tip. We read email from our faithful correspondents. Steve's going to talk about the iPod scratches and a couple of other interesting things. And it's all going to be exciting, wonderful, magnificent. And stay tuned for the next hour. I'm Nick Francesco. With Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with the phenomenal Rob Linton on the buttons, and he's just such a happy little guy today. I don't know how we beat that. Every Sunday, we stare at his chipper little happy face all day long.
And that caterpillar on his chin.
And that little caterpillar on his chin, the little chin spinach he's got there. We'll be back with Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
22-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites. Now, you've heard us tell you time and time and time again to back up your hard drive, back up your hard drive.
And guess what they don't do?
And they don't back up their hard drives. Well, what happens when you don't back up your hard drives? What happens is you call the folks at DriveSavers at DriveSavers.com. We have one of their great data recovery engineers on the line today. John Christopher was going to talk to us about what DriveSavers done. Are you there?
I am indeed. How you guys doing?
Great. We're peachy. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. Happy Sunday.
And the same to
you, sir.
Hey. So tell us about DriveSavers.
Well, DriveSavers has been in business for 20 years, believe it or not.
Wow.
And we specialize in rescuing data from crashed and broken disk drives and other types of storage media. And we have folks from all around the world send us their computers and their hard drives and all kinds of stuff that has either died or they've accidentally deleted data, or the computer system, for example, has been physically damaged in some way. And we go in and we rescue the information for them. We use our facility has something known as a Class 100 clean room, which is a dust-free environment. And we can disassemble the hard drive down to the component level, diagnose what's wrong with the drive, what type of failure it's having, and then from there we rescue the data and get it back to our customers.
Yeah, you look to see if the little bits of rust are going up and down or left and right.
What's that?
Yeah, you can look to see if all the little bits of rust on the iron oxide on the disk are going up and down,
yeah,
or left and right.
That's right, that's right. All those pluses and minuses.
Yep.
What I try to remind folks, and usually it's a little too late, is when you hear that fatal, you know, they put the hard drives in the machine and you just hear it going, click,
right,
click, click, and it's those heads just sliding up against the armature, or the armature is actually just sliding up against the spindle, going click, 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 and that's when they're really going to have to send it to you to
That probably represents more than 80% of the drives that come into DriveSavers have some kind of mechanical failure or have had some kind of physical damage. So using any kind of software utility off the shelf that you can go and buy is not going to help, because you're not really able to access the drive.
Yeah.
And it's important to remember, of course, that hard drives are mechanical devices. So they are going, right, to break down. They are going to fail. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah. The thing that amazes me is the people who come and say, you know, I'm having a problem with my drive. It takes 2 or 3 reboots before the drive will read. But once it's up, it's fine. And I always tell them, well, now's the time to back up all your data and replace the drive. And then like a month later, they come and say, you know that drive I was having trouble with? It failed. Now
right.
What do I do?
Right.
What about your backup? Okay.
Nothing makes you back up like a good crash.
You're right.
Well, I just recently had a client, and I sent him to DriveSavers, and you folks were able to save this gentleman's butt because he had been in business for a couple months, and oh, like typical people, hadn't done any backup, and all his client lists, all his billing, yep. and everything else was on there. And mm-hmm. due to you folks, you were able to save his, you know, bacon there.
Yeah, we've been a DriveSavers reseller for quite a few years now.
Exactly.
And refer a lot of customers to you.
I mean, you've saved some pretty remarkable stuff. I mean, if you go to your website there.
The Museum of Disasters is great.
It is amazing.
I love the sunken laptop in the Amazon tour boat.
Yeah.
Right. The sunken Amazon PowerBook.
Yep.
Yeah, that one's been around for a long time. That one, it's on our website in our Museum of Disasters.
Yep.
And if you go up there, you can check out a few of the things that are up there, that some of our worst case scenarios, if you will.
Some of the fire damaged ones, you can't even tell it's a computer.
I'm looking at the pictures and I'm thinking it's not possible to retrieve anything. And you guys saved everything.
That's right. Yeah, everything, of course, on the website has been rescued. There's a few new drives and stuff that laptops and things that haven't quite made it to the museum yet. One of them, in fact, is a laptop that was run over by an 18-wheeler in New York City.
Wow.
Matter of fact.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, one of the things that I read, you get a lot of computers in after trade shows that get dropped in front of the tour buses.
that's right. And in fact, these days, you know, Hurricane Katrina, of course, and Rita have kept us pretty busy because we're seeing a lot of waterlogged computers, damage that's occurred. And of course, you know, when there's a hurricane, it compounds the problem because you've got the possibility of impact damage where a computer, you know, might have been thrown against a wall or...
Yeah,
you know,
or floating around.
Or floating around, yeah. Yeah, and so we get these very ugly mud-caked hard drives, and we've got to completely disassemble them, clean the disk drive platters so that everything is absolutely pristine inside the drive, and we have an inventory of parts of roughly about 10,000 drives now, and we're able to go in and rebuild those drives and get them functioning long enough just to get the data off.
Just like the people trying to get their lives back together, you know, you're doing that part as far as getting their businesses back up and running so they can do business back to when they open up shop again in New Orleans.
And you guys
exactly.
And you guys have done some huge companies, Industrial Light and Magic, Ben and Jerry's, the Earth Trust.
Yeah, I like the autographed picture from the great Gonzo.
Sure. Right,
there you go. One of the Muppets and a personal friend, too.
Yeah. Sure, and who doesn't want to be friends with Gonzo?
Well, I mean, it just shows to go you. I mean, there's a lot of folks out there. You know, a lot of folks say, well, you know, it's just my small business. You know, I'm kind of a dummy. But, I mean, this happens to even other folks, you know, like Sean Connery and a number of others.
Well, it happened to Industrial Light and Magic. If there's anybody who ought to know to back up their stuff, it's Industrial Light and Magic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know they're so digitized, of course.
Yeah.
At LucasArts and Lucasfilm, that I mean, they rely obviously very, very, very heavily on computer systems, and they have an incredible backup system there. But you know, nobody is immune. We're all going to lose data someday. In fact, I've personally lost data a few times in my life, so I can even speak from experience myself.
Well, it's a story we've told on the show before that my company, I had a triple redundant backup system on our main point-of-sale server, and they all failed.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then the database corrupts, and we lost 3 weeks' worth of data.
Yep.
And I have to admit, I back up my important data to a separate machine at home, and then to a machine at RIT, where I work, one of my machines, which also gets backed up to tape.
Right. Right.
And even so, I worry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bottom line we have to tell folks is that, you know, a mechanical device will fail. You will lose your data at some point. So it depends on how much is your data worth to you. Have a good backup or plan on retyping and all those pictures of the grandkids that you can never get back again.
Yeah, I mean the number of drives and jobs that we see at DriveSavers, it's really mind-boggling. And you know, I've been with the company for 11 years. And I would have never guessed I'd been here working for a place like this for 11 years, for one thing, because, you know, there are lots of low-cost backup devices out there and automated software, all kinds of stuff out there to help prevent data loss. But, you know, you'd be amazed. You know, we have many, many customers, as I say, from all around the world.
They right. just don't take the time to do it.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think there are a bunch of different issues that come up. And one of them, I think, for example, in a corporate environment, you know, with the downturn in the economy, technology sector in particular, that perhaps individuals that were responsible for maintaining and taking care of backups may have left the company. I think some, perhaps, IT professionals may not have gone through the process of testing backups or testing their redundant systems to make sure these things are actually functioning should yeah. hard drive
and verifying.
Yeah, that was my problem. That, you know, I was relying on the triple redundant backup system and hadn't looked to make sure that they were all running.
Yeah, verification. Right. I mean, and
yeah, verification.
Exactly. Well, even so, we had a system that was telling us if you looked at the law at the report that it generated every week, the very first line it says backup completed okay.
Right.
If you
right.
look down farther. All that apparently meant was the program finished running because there were errors everywhere.
That's right. That's right. It was confirming that the software did its job, launched, ran, and was
it shut
done.
Down. Right.
But whether it truly backed up your critical information was beyond its capability to tell
right.
you that.
Right. Now, before we go much farther, we should tell everybody that you folks are drivesavers.com.
That's right.
And you have a bunch of different service plans that folks can look at. There's the 5 to 7 business days, 1 to 2 business days.
Right.
Oh, my God, I need it back right now.
Yep. That's right. We have a priority service where it's around the clock. You know, many times we get drives that are flown in, and, you know, we can start a recovery at any time, even in the middle of the night. And I've personally done recoveries from New York. We're out on the West Coast. So, mm-hmm. you know, I've started jobs at 9 o'clock at night that have arrived counter-to-counter FedEx, for example, and finished up at 3 a.m. So that by 6 a.m. your time, the business that I'd recovered the data for had access to our secure FTP server, was able to download the data and get
yeah.
back.
We should mention that it can get a little pricey because of the intense work that's necessary, but you know, if it's your data, it's worth it.
John,
that's
I want
right.
to thank
right.
you so
and,
much.
And, you know, I have to be brutally honest and say that you know our data recovery service, I mean, we will happily help anyone, but it's not always the most affordable
right.
service.
Right, right. It's cheaper to back up. John, I want to thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about data recovery at drivesavers.com. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave, Steve, Rob, Nick on Soundbites, 1180 WHAM.
Wow. Computer talk that you can understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm David.
I'm Steve Ray.
That is the most pep I've heard in his voice. Unless he's talking about inappropriate websites, that's the most exciting I've ever heard. Sorry, I'm no, Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. I keep telling you people,
we
you're
have
really
more fun
listening
than
to the
be
wrong
allowed.
End of the show. Give us a call. Did he just mention the... See, I wasn't even listening. 222-1180 gets you to call in. 295-1180 is the 800 number, the Choice One toll-free line. And if you're a Verizon Wireless customer, of course, it's star 1180. And we're going to talk to Claude from Greece, New York. Welcome, Claude. What's your question?
How's it going? I have a question with... Firefox. What it is, usually when I'm browsing a web page and I, you know, try to go to on its hyperlink, so what I usually do is I click on new window, but each time a new window comes up, it comes up back with my own page. So I wanted it to come up with the last window, with the last page that I was on.
Oh, yeah. Internet Explorer does that. When you have a web page open and say new window, you get a second copy of the same web
window. Page. Yeah, because it doesn't.
With Firefox, when you say new window, you get your home page.
Home page, exactly. Is there some way, you know, to...
Well, in the Firefox preferences, you can say open a blank page
yeah.
instead of the home page.
The other thing that you can try is instead of saying open a new window, you can open a new tab.
Well, the same thing. New tab, you can either do a blank or the home page.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, if you open a new tab
mm-hmm.
by actually clicking on something,
okay.
then, for example, a middle click or a right click and then select open a new tab actually okay. opens that link in the new tab.
Okay.
So you don't lose the original page you came from.
That makes sense.
Right. And then Control T also opens a blank page.
Okay.
A blank tab.
And that works with any browser. If you right-click or on the Mac, you can control-click on a link. You can open that link in a new window and then not lose the page you're coming from. You know, a lot of people will open like a news page and they want to read six stories.
Right.
You click a link, you lose the main story page and have to keep going back.
On Windows, you have three buttons, really. You have the right button, the left button, and then if you have a scroll wheel, that's really also a button and can be clicked on. If you click on a link with the scroll wheel in Firefox, it opens that link in a new tab.
What a good segue, though, to my tip.
And here's Dave's tip.
Yeah, this week's tips, what I've done, and as a matter of fact, I just posted it this morning at 7 o'clock, was a lot of these shortcuts that you hear us talk about for using within Windows. I've got some in there for Internet Explorer. So if you go to the Soundbites webpage, click on Dave's tips, you can literally print that whole listing off that, you know, if you're tired of using the mouse, and sometimes I find using shortcut keys a lot faster then trying to go over and select the first object, right-clicking on it, say select all. There's keystrokes that you can do that can make your life a lot easier and moving around just on your desktop.
A lot of people develop a work style where, and I do this myself, my left hand's on the keyboard, my right hand's on the mouse.
Yeah.
And I can type a few keys here and there. I can use my mouse shortcuts here and there. And it ends up being a lot faster than trying to type everything.
So go there and you can check out Dave's tips. And it's shortcut keys that you might want to print out and have posted next to your computer and use them from time to time. You might find getting around a little bit faster.
Yeah, that's probably an excellent idea. I think it is. Our next caller is Frank from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Frank.
Thank you. I have three laptops wireless with Time Warner AOL, and after I sign on, about 20 minutes approximately, my signal goes from 54 bits per second to approximately 1, and then I incur a lot of problems, slow-ups, and then sometimes I get kicked off. And only one computer does that.
But the other two are fine.
Yes, they are.
I have to it's going to be one of a couple of things. If it's wireless, it could be a hardware problem. Could be that particular wireless system is overheating. The wireless signal, the wireless card, gets so hot that it shuts down.
Uh-huh.
It could also be that particular system has viruses.
Yeah,
or
I've used your Security Tango a number of times, plus we have Norton. And that doesn't seem to help. But interestingly enough, the hard drive does click a lot.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, it sounds like that machine actually has a physical problem. Particularly if the other two are still fine, then it is very likely to be that machine. And if you're having clicks and things
like
that,
it's clearly a hardware problem. Way of letting you know that hard drive's getting ready to go.
And as we talked about when John was on from Data Savers, back up your data from that machine now.
Yeah, you can spend $100 to buy an external hard drive, back up your whole computer, or you can spend a couple $1,000 Drive Savers to recover the data.
So, that's the system's way of telling you. That drive's getting ready to go, and you should probably react on
Everybody should listen to that. Everybody should hear what they need to do to back
It's just
up.
Like your car. You know, listen for odd noises. If your computer makes an odd noise, be wary.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? It's a frightening thing to turn off your radio once in a while. In the winter, roll up the windows, turn off the radio, and actually listen to the car as you're driving. You'll never want to turn the radio off again as long as you live. Our next caller, Jack from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Jack. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I got wireless networking, and I was just wondering how you restrict other people from using your wireless.
WEP, Wireless Encryption Protocol. If you go into the router itself... you look in your manual, there's a. It tells you how to use your web browser to log into the router.
Yep.
One of the things you can do is set a key, an encryption key, and then you set that same key on every one of your systems. Only machines that have that key, that number that you type in, only those systems can connect to your wireless router.
Cool.
There's also, okay, in most of the routers, there's another level, too, because if someone guesses your password or yeah, you know, like in a company, if someone leaves the company, they still have the password. Some of the systems allow you to set a hardware address, what's called the MAC address, so that only a specific computer can get into the network as well.
Yeah.
So an added level of protection.
Yep. It's very nice. Make sure all of you who are running wireless networks, that's a great thing to do. Our next caller is Gary on a cell phone. Welcome, Gary. What's your question?
Two quick questions. One on SpyBot. I'm getting a invalid checksum when I try to download.
Yeah, that was
update.
Our second call or third call today. A lot of people are having that problem, and just there are a couple of different sites that you can try when you go to log in.
Yeah, and it's right there. If you see next to search down, search for updates, next to that, it'll once it tries and fails, you'll see a particular website that it tried to download from. To the right of that is a down arrow. If you select that down arrow, select one of the other sites and keep trying. So it's going to be a hit and miss thing because I've run through them all. And you, if they
depends
keep
on the time of day, yeah, and what the traffic is like, and just keep trying. It's
that's the only thing we can tell
nothing
you to
much
do.
You can do, yeah, beyond that.
And the new SpyBot 1.4 randomly picks a download site,
right, yeah,
to try to help this problem.
Yeah.
What's your next question?
I can't load Firefox when Norton is running. It, you know, it says I can't find home page.
You might want to check your internet settings within
Norton.
Norton.
Within Norton?
Yeah, to see if that's being blocked.
Yeah, you've told it to block Firefox from getting to the internet.
So you'll have to check that program settings within Norton's internet
allowed
security.
Program list or something,
yeah,
like that.
So okay, check that out and let us know.
Thanks.
Have a good weekend.
Our next caller is nobody. We have no next caller.
Well, that's one of the biggest issues. In fact, we should gloss over a couple of these. Putting a password on your wireless router protects you from other, yep, people breaking in. It's also more annoying that then you have to type the password.
Right.
Which is the annoyance we hear a lot with all these seminars we've been doing. It's the annoyance we hear a lot that I don't want to have to type my password in. I want to use the
same. Or remembering so many different passwords.
Right. I'm going to use the same password on everything because I can't remember them all. And then when you load a firewall, like Norton Firewall or Windows Firewall, Zone Alarm Firewall, you have to tell it what programs are allowed to get out through the firewall.
Yep.
So it's a little more work for you as the user, but much, much safer.
Protects you, yeah.
And protection from people breaking into your computer.
Right, right. Very important. I know that it's annoying. You know, there's a new thing that they're doing. The people who try to break into your systems, they can now, using cheap equipment like a $10 microphone, record what you type and tell which keys you pressed. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even have to be in your computer anymore. They can just record it from outside, like sitting in your,
yeah,
you know, if they record what you're typing, they can figure out, yep, what keys you press, get about, yeah, 90% of what you did. So it's getting
scary,
more and more interesting. Exactly right. But that's how that works. Our next caller, Gary from Webster. Welcome, Gary. What's your question?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I am running America Online's Instant Messenger. Had it for a long time. Never had any, you know, issues with it. Approximately a week ago, I started receiving connection lost messages, check your internet connection.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming fairly constant that I can log on and be on for maybe 15 to 20 minutes, and then it pops up. And I haven't got a clue where to go start looking. To the best of my knowledge, I have not changed anything.
Everything's up to date on your machine?
Yes.
As far as antivirus and SpyBot and Adware?
What are you running for an antivirus program?
I am running Norton.
Mm-hmm. And how often do you, how do you connect to the internet? What's your...
I have cable, Time Warner.
Okay. Interesting problem. I know several people are connected to AIM and to AOL using the AIM client. And I'm not seeing this, so I'm thinking it's got to be something to do with your machine. The question is, what could it be? Try running the Security Tango. I don't know that that's going to
fix it. Another caller was saying that there's an AMI fix.
Yeah, try the AIM fix. If you go to Google and search for AIM fix, or I'm sure Steve's got it on the site.
Try running
a link
that.
To it. Try AIM fix. It may be that you've got one of the corrupted versions, and
okay,
that this will fix
it. I downloaded the newest version this morning. I went up to the site and reinstalled everything.
And it's still happening.
Yep.
Did you do a full uninstall first?
No, that's
one of the issues.
One of the problems is when you install something, and everybody needs to hear this too. When you do an update to something, if that thing has been causing trouble, you should do a full uninstall and then reinstall the new product, means you have to remember things like your passwords and all of that stuff. But the problem is a lot of the programs, when you do an update, they don't update everything. They only update the new pieces. So if one of the old pieces had gotten corrupted, it will still be corrupted. So just doing an update doesn't always fix the problem. Our next caller, Ann from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Ann. What's your question?
Hello.
Hi.
Turn the radio off, please.
Okay. How's that?
That's better, because there's a delay, so you don't know you're hearing us. What's your question, Ann?
My daughter, another college student question.
It's College Student Week.
It seems to be the day.
Yeah.
She uses Internet Explorer, and she has the college McAfee virus software on there.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps getting a pop-up, all one word, WinAntiSpyware2005. And I did a little Googling last night, and I think it refers to it as a virus.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, first step is tell her to stop using Internet Explorer because that allows these problems through.
Yeah.
Yes, and you would suggest maybe Foxfire?
Firefox is probably your best bet. It's a great browser, and it's free.
Okay.
And as we said, you can have all of these browsers on your machine at the same time, and if you have enough memory, you can run them all at the same time.
Yeah.
They don't interfere with each other.
Okay.
And she should also dance the Security Tango at securitytango.com.
Okay.
But yeah, it looks like this when we've been seeing a lot more of this. A lot of spyware masquerading as anti-spyware. So you go to a website and it says, click here to download this anti-spyware program. It is spyware.
It is spyware.
And
so
makes it worse.
She definitely needs to clean up her machine. McAfee takes care of viruses but doesn't take care of spyware. So she needs to deal with that. That's important for all of you. Make sure that your systems have not only an antivirus, but an anti-spyware program that you run as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing. And if you have kids in college, get them Linux machines. Yeah. Our next caller is Dave from Hilton, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Peachy, great. How are you?
Good. I got a problem with it. I bought a new PC that I hooked to a wireless network, and I'm trying to get my printer to work from this PC, and I can't get it to work. I installed the software for it. I went into the printer stuff, and it says it's sharing okay, but it won't print to my printer on my other computer.
What firewall do you have running? What operating system? Let's back up first.
Yeah.
It's Windows XP.
So you probably have the XP firewall running. The firewall blocks file and printer sharing. You have to know how to turn off that block.
You've got multiple machines?
I have two machines. I have one connected to
and IPSL. the other one has the printer on it.
Yes.
And it's running fine.
Yes.
You can print from it fine.
Yes.
Steve is absolutely right.
And on that other one, it's the sharing is set up over there on that one that it's hooked up to?
Yes, it is.
All right, check the firewall on that one also.
Yeah, you got what's the other one running?
XP.
Yeah, check the firewall on both.
Unfortunately, I've never been able to find what the name of the process is that does file and printer sharing, in order to tell the firewall to let it through.
Yeah.
Right, but
I usually turn the whole firewall off, and that works.
I'm not a big fan of the XP firewall to begin with. I prefer Zone Alarm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so but that's what you need to do. That's where the problem
is. In the control panel, you'll see the icon for the firewall, and from in there, on both machines, you want to disable it.
So, yeah, because what we've mentioned earlier is firewalls block people from breaking into your computer, and they also block things on your computer from getting out that you don't want to get out, but you have to configure the firewall to let things out, like your printer sharing, that you do want to get out of your computer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Our next caller is Mike from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Good afternoon. Good job, folks.
Thank you.
I have a question. I also have a friend who uses the public library computers for the Internet.
Yeah, you got a friend. Everybody's got a friend.
Yeah. Wink, wink.
Oh, well, yeah. And I was wondering, would you happen to be familiar with the security or how safe it is to enter any personal information?
It is completely unsafe.
Yeah.
Do not ever enter personal information.
It is the single worst thing you can conceivably do.
Yeah.
Well, you're doing a great public service on getting that up.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Let us reiterate that. That is a very important thing. If you you are using a public computer anywhere,
that should be
do
the key
not
word.
Enter right,
public.
Right. Do not enter private information. It gets saved in caches. It gets saved in memory. It gets left all over the machine. Certainly, if it says, do you want us to remember this password? Say no. But even that doesn't do it all. You really, truly have to be aware that when you're using a public machine, everything on it is public.
The history and where you go and everything else. I mean,
yeah.
So the next person to sit down at that computer can just keep hitting the back button and find all of your personal stuff.
Yeah. Right. So if you're using a public computer to do public things, you're doing a Google search for school or whatever that happens to be, fine, knock yourself out. But if it's anywhere that you would put in any sort of private information,
do not.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Mozilla fixed their flaw. Too bad Microsoft didn't do the same. Virus and writers, move on in, and we'll talk more about it with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, after these messages on 1180 WHAM.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound
People
Bites.
Should really be around for
they
the off
really
air.
Should. They really,
I mean,
really,
we're really
should.
Done.
Maybe I shouldn't stop the recording.
Yeah. I want to publicly thank both Argyle and Mark for all their help. They've been in the forums throughout this entire show trying to help me solve the problems with the streaming media that I've been having. We believe we've narrowed it down either to user error. That would be me, or
no.
Or this cable. I have to get a better cable. I think it might be the cable. Could just be the jack in the thing, but we'll start with a new cable. And this is part of that whole troubleshooting thing we talk about. Yep. You replace one thing and you try it.
Yep.
You replace something else.
You change
and you
too
try
many
it.
Things all at once, and then you'll never know
which one did it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Before we go back to the phones, though, I want to really quickly talk a little bit about our website at soundbites.org. We do a poll every week. Last week's poll was how you feel about the audio archives. Most of you, 38% of you don't use them, but 31% would like higher quality. 23% just want us to keep on coming, and 8% want smaller files. The interesting thing is people are talking about, well, they want stereo. I don't believe this is a stereo signal.
No.
I mean, you can get the mono signal in two ears, but it's still just mono. There is no stereo. This is AM. This week's poll is about the Opera browser. We should mention that the Opera folks have followed the Mozilla folks. The Opera browser is now entirely free. You've always been able to download a free version, but it had ads. The ads are gone, and it's now completely free. And the poll this week says, I tried it WoW, I tried it Yawn, I'm happy with Firefox, I'm happy with IE, that's Internet Explorer, which I usually pronounce IE! I'm happy with Safari, I left out Camino, I apologize, I'm happy with Lynx, and I'm happy with a different browser. It is pretty long as it is.
And that goes to show you there are choices besides Internet Explorer.
Yeah, exactly right. There are 78 votes so far. 54% of you, I'm delighted to say, are happy with Firefox. You've been listening to us. I want to thank you all for that. That's great. But we're back to the phones now, and our next caller... you got to be on the mic if you're going to talk.
No. What did you... Yeah, I know what he's talking about.
What did I forget?
The opinions.
Go back.
You forgot the opinions.
Once you answered the
you're
poll,
absolutely
what
right.
Do?
I forgot something. Once you're done with the poll...
Jeez Louise.
I beg your pardon. I'm just trying to do something twice. I'm trying to get the... streaming thing. I'm confused.
Just go on.
Once you're done, both of you. Once you're done with the poll, then you'll see below it a little yellow box that will take you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
That's what you were waiting. That's the whole reason you were there. And you can leave an opinion about your individual browser and why you picked the one you picked. What's interesting is I gave a talk to the Rochester Amateur Radio folks, the ham operators, last week. And one guy said, who is it who says that's AskNick.com? After I say AskNick.com and then you hear, that's AskNick.com. That's actually, thank you, that's actually still me using my masculine voice as opposed to the voice I normally use. Exactly right.
Yes, we almost put on our radio voices. Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. Our next caller is... Yeah, we can all do that, but so what? So do that and then come back to our website and join in the polls and join in the forum. We've got great people in our forum. So join us at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. Our next caller, now can I go to the caller? Is that okay with you? Tom from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Tom.
So
what's your question?
Afternoon. I can't use Tango, unfortunately, lately. And what's happening is you have to start in safe mode, okay?
Mm-hmm.
No matter how many times I hit the F8 key.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Let me just back you up for a second.
Okay.
The only time you really have to use safe mode is when SpyBot or AdAware don't work for you. If they lock up, say you're running SpyBot, and it says, okay, it's going to remove it, and it freezes there.
Yeah, you don't have. I put safe mode in simply because it's. I don't want to have 45 pages of if it doesn't do this or it doesn't do that or it doesn't do something else.
Oh, we could go on
and
probably
try it in
a whole
safe
booklet.
Mode, and if it doesn't do that, so I just said, you know what, go into safe mode. If you can't go into safe mode, there's one of two reasons for that. One is you've got a virus that's preventing you from doing that, or two, you're just not hitting it at the right time.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there's a real big timing issue.
One caveat to that whole thing is I'm running a wireless keyboard.
There you go.
So that will never work.
Yeah,
Wireless keyboard won't work until Windows loads.
Right.
Right, and that's your problem. So do it without going into safe mode, and you should be fine.
Or get a wired keyboard so you can get into safe mode.
Right.
The USB keyboard, or the wireless keyboard, doesn't get loaded until after the...
Same with the USB keyboard. You have to use a PS2 keyboard. Probably.
Right, you do.
Yeah.
We're going to take another break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham's Michael Savage.
George.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Benrick.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Before we get to the calls, I did say I'd tell you about another flaw in Microsoft Office. And there is one. There's a flaw in Office. It hasn't been fixed yet. How many times does this have to happen before we say no more?
OpenOffice.org.
Great product. Our next caller is Joe from Avon, New York. Welcome, Joe. What's your question?
Hi. I have Norton Internet Security 2002. It's just expired. Should I renew that by 2005 or 2006 is about to hit the shelves?
Well, first, if you renew one, you should get an upgrade to the other.
Not necessarily. You can renew your subscription to the updates without getting a whole new program.
Right.
The price difference between that is usually very minor, so you're better off getting a new program that has newer engines and newer and better and faster.
And catches things better.
So the bigger question is, do you buy 2005 now or wait for 2006? I'd say buy 2005 now and let other people test 2006 when it comes out.
Yeah, why be the pioneer?
You don't want to be first.
Yeah.
So yeah, go with the update on 2005.
Yep. Our next caller, Rich, from Greece, New York. Welcome, Rich. What's your question?
Situation is, when I get a email...
Oh, Rich, I don't know where you are, but I can't hear a thing you're saying. I apologize. No. I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, I think he was on a cell phone.
He must have been on a cell phone and must have been sitting under a bridge somewhere. Is it raining where he was, do you think? I apologize. I'm so sorry. Give us a call back if you can, but that's... I couldn't hear a thing.
Yeah.
I could not hear a dang thing.
Speaking of bugs in Office, the bug and zone alarm. They fixed the pro version, but aren't going to fix the free version.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
They haven't fixed it yet.
They
don't know if they're.
Yeah.
We don't know if they're not going to fix it.
Right. That bothers me, and I'm looking into that right now. And speaking of OpenOffice.org, the 1.1.5 version is out now. The one that reads the Open Document Standard, the one that Massachusetts is going with, and the rest of the world should go with too.
Mm-hmm.
2.0 is in release candidate feature, and that's going to include a great product called Base, and basically that's Microsoft Access, only it not only works with their own files, but it works with MySQL files, other and Postgres files, and Oracle files, and you name it files, anything you can connect to through Windows, and it's or the Linux box, and it's just it's great. If you have not had a chance to take a look at OpenOffice,
you got to try it.
It's OpenOffice.org, OpenOffice.org, all one word, OpenOffice, and it's a full suite. It's a full Office suite like Microsoft Office. It has a word processor and a spreadsheet and a presentation program like PowerPoint. It has a drawing program built in. It has math functions built in, a whole little math equation writer. And the new version will have this this database product along with it. It uses its own stuff plus hooks
plus
to other things.
Plus you can sit there and create PDF files. That's one feature I like.
Save as PDF. Yeah. Done. It's a PDF file. You're finished. You don't have to buy anything else. You don't have to pay for anything else.
Yeah, and you want to send something happens. Out and not worry about getting changed or anything else. You can just send that PDF file out and away you go.
The big difference is that unlike Word, you now have to learn the way it works. I always say this. It's like buying a new car. You still know how to drive. The controls are in a different
position.
You just have to learn where the new controls are. We are done for another week. I want to thank each and every one of you who called in and voted and got in the forums, and especially Argyle and Mark. I want to apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. Call in earlier next week. Come back next week and talk to us. We're going to have some interesting things. Mike Falk is going to be here, who knows all about home automation and about broadband over power. So in the home, inside the home, not over the streets, but inside the home. So come back and join us. We'll be back here with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. It's going to be an interesting week. I'm looking forward to having Mike Falk here. We'll be back next Sunday at 11 a.m. on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Thanks.
Looking for new.